So I needed about 40 odd minutes. I've got 30. I don't know if God wants me to do something else. Yeah. Well, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you, Lord, as the word tells us, you often went up into a high place, away from people. And Lord, as you did, people followed you. It shows us, Jesus, that you're welcoming us. You welcome us. You welcome us as we approach you, as we come to you. And you're always there for us. And we come to you this morning. Lord, I come to you this morning. I bring the whole church to you this morning. We come before you, Lord Jesus, not as a people who just want to come and go and do nothing, but as a people who want to come and encounter you and sit at your feet and learn and go away different and changed. Lord, I'm sick of the status quo, and I'm sure we all are. We want to see you move. We want to see your blood wash this land. We want to see salvations and healings and miracles. And Lord, we want to be used by you. We thank you, Father, this morning for the stories of forgiveness and blessing. And those things, Lord, which are true, which is we forgive those who hurt us, Lord. You release us and life comes from that. But Lord, it goes beyond that. Which Chris said, it's not just about the law. It's more than the law. It's not just forgiving, it's blessing. Kat spoke about forgiving. There's a lot about forgiveness. A lot about being a Christian. Stuart talking about my life. Lord, what are you saying? Thank you, Lord. Okay. Do you know what? I'm just going to go for it. See what happens. So, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the Lord of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked won't stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You know, this isn't my preach, okay? But here's what I think the Lord wants to say. I think there's two conflicting lifestyles in this world. I think Roy spoke about it last week. He's having two different pairs of glasses. With one pair of glasses, we can view the world a certain way. We can view our lives a certain way. We can view ourself a certain way. We can view God a certain way. With the other set of glasses, we can see God a certain way. We can see people a certain way. We can see ourselves a certain way. And living in this world, we have those two contrasts, as he said last week. There's those two different kinds of things, but there's also then two different kinds of Christians. There's the Christians, in a sense, that seem to live a certain way, act a certain way, do certain things and get away with certain things. And there's those, if you want, that also live a different way and live a certain way, who kind of do the things that he says, who do the things the Lord wants them to, who obey the Holy Spirit and forgive and bless and walk this stuff out, who do as they're told, and God will bless them and bless them and bless them. I think what God wants to talk about this morning is about how much you want of him and how much you can have of him. And how much you can grow if you seek him. And if you seek him with all of your heart, that you'll find him. Because he's there to be found. You know, when I was driving my kids the other day to somebody's house who blessed us and helped us and babysat the kids for the day. On the way there, we saw this hearse go past. And this little pink coffin was in the back on its own. There was no flowers. There was no family following it. There was no cars behind it. It was just a little girl's pink coffin. Probably a 3-4-year-old little girl. And I tell you, I looked at it, I noticed it, and I was really sad, and I was really saddened. I had 3 little girls in the car with me, and my heart was moved by it. And I remember saying, oh Lord, that poor little baba, all on her own. And straight away the Lord said to me, she's not on her own. They're never alone. We're never alone. I want to say to you this morning that we're never, ever, ever alone. You know, Jesus is here right now. He's here because I'm here. He's in me. He's alive in me. And he's here because you're here. We're never alone. He's always with us. And I want to encourage you this morning. There's a move of God coming in this nation. There's a move of God going to hit this nation and Europe and everywhere else. And we're just going to play our little Teesside part in it. It's not the big deal. Amazing Grace isn't a big deal. It's just a building with walls. The reality is people for years have got a load of people together, called it a church, put a wall around it and windows in it and doors in it. But what's happened is the door gets very small to get out and it's massive to get in. So people get trapped. This building's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. It's not what actually matters. What matters is what God's going to do through us, amongst us, with us. Platforms, stadiums, parks, fields, all these things are going to be packed. This move of God is going to move across this nation. And like I said, we'll play our part of it, or you can completely miss it. Because if you're not walking with the Lord, if you're not following Jesus, what he says to do, then actually, where are you going to be when this wave comes? It's like a surfer sitting in that wave and then you just miss it. So this morning, I want to encourage you not to miss it. Maybe this morning is about you dying to yourself. Maybe this morning's about dying to your desires and your wants and the things of the world which are trying to entangle you and ensnare you and pull you away from the Lord and pull you away from your first love. Maybe this morning it's about doing what this psalm says, which David wrote, which is about being blessed. Blessed, happy, full, satisfied, a good life, a life filled with abundance, blessed. You know, like Stuart said, I got out of prison. I didn't want to go home for a lot of different reasons. For different reasons, fear, attack, all kinds of stuff. But also my ex-girlfriends are there, the ex-temptations are there, all that stuff. And like he said, I rightfully said to the Lord, I'll give you 2 or 3 years and I'll give it my best and see what happens. And so that's what I did. And in doing that, in sacrificing and giving that time, I was blessed. I was blessed for making that decision. And I've seen over the years people who are blessed who sacrifice. You look at Carl and Terrier. You look at them coming from their country and the nation. You look around this room, different people. Even Kat, you know, absolutely awesome. I love it when she's singing and she's worshipping and she's praising the Lord. You look at different people around this room, all of you, who in your own way have sacrificed stuff and give stuff up to keep going and getting this far. Like Chris said this morning, well done for coming here. It is well done. You know, Jesus, one day, the Bible says, he'll say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. And for a lot of Christians, it terrifies them because they say, what if he doesn't say that to me? What's he going to say to me? Well, do you know what I think? I don't think he's going to say to Reinhard Bonnke, well done, good and faithful servant, because you saw 55 million people saved. I think he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, because you woke up every morning and chose to worship me instead of going on Facebook or doing all the other stuff you could have done first. Well done for staying with your wife instead of going somewhere else when you could have done. Well done for being good and faithful when everyone else was putting me down. You held on to what you believe. Well done for standing on this word and trusting it. Well done, good and faithful servant, for when the chips were down, for still believing me. Even so, even so, even so, even so, I still believe God can do great things. I don't know what I'm speaking here, so I'm just letting it come out in a sense. But you know, when we lost our little baby in the Oakwood, I'll tell you, I remember that time. I remember me and Stella going, we'd prayed, we'd been to prayer meetings and all that stuff. We went back for the second scan, the baby wasn't alive and we were devastated. But in that moment, I had the choice and we had that choice, stood in that church. What are we going to do now? Everyone's singing holy hallelujahs and God, you're so awesome and perfect and loving and kind and blameless and all this stuff and you protect us and provide us for all you've made. But right now in that moment, that's not the truth for me. Right now in that moment, I'm not blessed. Right now in that moment, I'm not happy. I can't see the joy of the Lord. But right in that moment, I've got a choice. And in that moment, we just lifted our hands up and said, you know what, even so, even so, even so. And we trust the Lord. And blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. There's too many of us live on Facebook. Let's just be real. We put on Facebook everything. This is me. Happy birthday to this person. I mean, they're 2 months old. They're a month old. They're a year old. Who are you actually telling? Who are you saying happy birthday to? Because a one-year-old baby can't read Facebook. You're basically telling the whole world, look at my little baby who's one, and then make me feel good about it. It's selfish. It's self-centered. And a lot of us live in all that stuff. And then we're upset and we're sad and we get counsel off all these people who don't even know the Lord. I'll wish for you. I'll talk about you. I'll do this for you. But they say, all you've got. Because it is all they've got. Then you've got problems with your marriage. And you go and speak to someone in the workplace who doesn't know the Lord. And so they don't honour marriage as this kind of covenant relationship between two people. You know, I read the other day that a man and woman can get married and they can separate, but they've made a covenant with God. And in a state in America, they won't divorce people because they say you might disagree now and get married, but God hasn't dissolved that relationship. So that's between you and you made a covenant between three of you. But what I'm saying is we'll go to the world and ask their advice. What do you think? What do you think I should do? Well, Mr. Person who's had 20 different relationships, will you tell me how to have a good marriage? They haven't got a clue. And so we walk in their counsel. We walk in the counsel of the wicked. We watch TV. We watch, you know, when I go into schools, it's funny how all the kids are like Towie. They've all got their hair done. Oh, I mean, like 13. They're just full of makeup and all that stuff. But we walk in their counsel. We walk in their counsel. We take their opinion and their advice and we count it as gold. And it's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. I'll tell you why it's worth nothing. Because what we've already said this morning, we've been raised from death to life. We're not dead anymore, we're alive. You're going to someone who's dead, asking them how to live life. They can't give you that kind of advice. All they can tell you what to do is to die. When I was thinking about doing my job, being a motivational speaker, I remember me and Stuart talking about it. And I was saying, the truth is, what can I say to anybody? If I say, and his friends, Olympians and all sorts, they can say, follow my path, can't they? Olympian. This is my key to success. But what am I going to say? Follow me. Where are you going to end up? In prison. You can follow me to jail, because I tell you, bottom line, that's where I go. The only thing that got me out of that was Jesus. That's it. Without him, I'm still in that prison cell, still in that stuff. That's it, bottom line. So I can't motivate anything. So me, in my own counsel, giving advice, all that stuff in the past, is just a waste of time. You need to go to Christians. You need to go firstly to this. You need to go firstly to prayer. You need to seek that which is above. You know, when someone says to you, you've got cancer, we're praying for people. We're praying for Russell. We're praying for Rebecca. We're praying for Karen. We're praying for all these people who need absolute miracles. But you know what? Doctors are saying this, and we're saying, well, that's okay, but we're going to believe something different. Because like someone said the other week, I think it was you, brother, it doesn't matter what the facts are. What the facts are is what the facts are, but what the truth is something completely different. And we stand on the truth, not on the facts. So the first thing, I suppose, is to not walk in the counsel of the wicked, not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, not to walk in their counsel. Do you know, I just want to say something. If you've submitted yourself to live under the counsel of someone that doesn't know the Lord, you need to break away from that. You need to take back the right you've given someone to speak into your life. Sometimes you give someone an open door to come and bring information into your life that you don't actually need. It's like dodgy emails. You know, you need to stop it and unsubscribe. There has to come a point where you stop being a tail and you become a head again. And stop listening to this stuff. And start standing in this place of victory. Instead of being bowed and pulled, you start commanding and speaking life and truth. You see, the truth is we're Christians, aren't we? But before we were called Christians, we were called followers of the way, weren't we? Followers of the way what? Well, the way Jesus walked, the way Jesus lived. The Bible says we're destined to become like Jesus. We're destined to be conformed into his image. It's our destiny to become that. And so actually, we need to start walking it out. Because what happens is the enemy tries to stop that to happen. And he'll do that through the counsel of the wicked. He'll do that through other people's advice. You see, you go to someone and say, I need 340 quid for my mortgage this month, who don't know the Lord, and they'll say, go and borrow it, get a loan, or go and rob some of it. I don't know. Because that's the only answers they've got. Whereas if you come to me, or another brother or sister, we'll say, well, let's pray about it, and let's trust God for it, and let's thank God for it. Because that's the counsel of the righteous. That's the counsel of your brothers and sisters. So maybe the first thing the Lord wants to say this morning, if we're going to go forward into this revival and this move of God and this big awakening that I actually believe is going to happen, I really do. And if we need to be ready for it, then maybe the first thing we need to do is to detach from the counsel of the wicked. If that means for some of you, you get rid of your phone, so you stop looking at things, so it stops becoming your idol. If it means you stop going on Facebook, if you stop watching certain things on TV, if you stop doing certain things, hanging around with certain people, knocking about with certain people, I don't know. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of things out there for you young people, for you middle-aged people, for you older people. There is enough things that will come like leeches and suck the very life out of you, so you've got nothing to give anybody. And this is what the counsel the wicked does. It comes in a sense to destroy your faith. So secondly, don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't stand in the way of sinners. You know, you can stand. If I was stood in front of all you now, like this bunch of people, and I'm standing in your way, saying, don't do, all this stuff, you know, pushing you all back in my own strength, then in a sense what's going to happen is I'm going to get carried away by you in the end. Your stuff's just going to end up carrying me away too. So the reality is for us is to leave that to the Lord. Trust God with the sin and all that other stuff. All we have to do in that is just become love in a sense, don't we? You can get that wrapped up in people's sin. It's like this gay marriage thing. I mean, the more I think about this, it's a thing of the enemy. It's got the whole world thinking the church are absolutely evil and don't care about anybody. And it's got the whole church focused about people getting married. I mean, the reality is, bottom line, it doesn't matter what the world says. Marriage doesn't come from man, it comes from God anyway. So who cares if Steve and Jimmy get married and the world says they're married? Because to the Lord, it's a covenant. And the Lord doesn't agree with that, so in a sense, it's irrelevant. But we're so focused on that stuff, it takes all of our attention, all of our time. Some of us stand for it, some of us stand against it, but it's irrelevant. It's what God says. And you know what? What it then does is all of a sudden it takes the eye off someone else who's then living with somebody else and sleeping with somebody else when they shouldn't be. Or someone who's stealing and lying, deceitful and nasty and all these other things. It's like saying that is the greater and everything else is lesser. You know, but it's not. Sin is sin. On my criminal record sheet, I've got lots of crimes. But you know what? They're all recorded. It doesn't say that's this and this is that. I've got bigger time for some and some for the others. So maybe we shouldn't stand in the path of sinners so much in that sense anymore. And maybe we should just do what the Lord has said and just love people. Call to people. You know, here's a better way. Follow me in this. So we don't get carried away and took away with the streams of life and the things that they're doing and all that other stuff. Maybe we should just stand in our position. Stand on our word. Stand in the name of the Lord. Stand washed in the blood. Stand in who we are. Stand in the truth of who we are. And trust God for the rest. You know, we're not called to save the world. I've been for 3 years trying to go out, pray for people, meet people, talk to people, evangelize people, and do the best I can. Failed, messed up, scared, afraid. Am I embarrassing God? Am I making it all worse? All this different stuff. Do you know what? Bottom line was, it was all me trying to save the world in a sense. I don't want to get it wrong. What if I pray for this dude who's in a wheelchair and nothing happens, and then I walk away and tomorrow he wakes up and says, I was right. God's irrelevant. He's not real. That flipping idiot prayed for me yesterday and nothing's happened to me. So then I've just made God look more stupid, haven't I? I've just made God look more unreal. And so I become afraid and I stop doing all that kind of stuff. But you know, the truth is I had to learn a little bit of a lesson. And it's this. Jesus hadn't told me to save the world. He just told me to love it. And in loving it, do you know what? Then I can just stand on the wayside and say, guys, girls, there's a different way. God wants to bless you. And maybe from this position, with my eye focused on things that are good, instead of releasing all this negativity and all that stuff, I can just release life and truth and love and mercy and grace. So don't stand in the way of sinners. And then don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Do you know, it's easy to scoff. Let me give you an example. I used to be at work being a Christian witness of how cool my Christianity was, how cool my way of expressing Jesus was, how cool I was, in a sense. And I'd express all that, and then someone said, yeah, but them Catholics are all pedos and all that, aren't they? Oh, well, you know, that's the Catholics. And all of a sudden, I'm just sat in a seat of scoffers. You see, because in doing that, I'm kind of discounting half of my brothers and sisters. Forget the religious stuff that hides them all. There's people there with genuine faith, genuine love, genuine heart for the Lord. You think of people like Mother Teresa. Think of all these saints. Think of all the people that have lived over the years. So don't sit in a seat of scoffers when people mock. You know, I was doing it in the church in Spain when we went away, and I brought this word of knowledge. And this guy who I thought was our friend in Spain was like laughing to his friend when I brought this word of knowledge, and no one responded to it. In the end, there was a person there with that thing, but I was like, what? It's crazy, you know. So don't sit in the seat of scoffers. There's enough people right now scoffing a lot. There's enough people scoffing this Bible. There's enough people scoffing the truth, scoffing the blood, scoffing the resurrection, scoffing everything. There's a big move of liberal Christianity. Liberalism is called. I looked it up the other day to have a look what it was. Do you know basically what it was? It was like this Bible study, this Bible college course I started doing. And I started doing this course. I was about 3 weeks in, and they started saying some stuff. And then one time this guy was there, and he mentioned about, it's a Catholic guy, and the other guy wasn't a Catholic guy. And they were educated, they were all this stuff. And then one of them said something in the midst of the teaching. Oh, yeah, well, I don't really believe in Adam and Eve. And then I said, what? So I stopped him. I said, just go back a minute. What did you just say? You don't believe in Adam and Eve? Well, you know, I said, what do you believe, mate? Oh, well, you know that. I said, nah, what do you actually believe? Well, you know, this says, I said, I don't care what page. What do you believe? Oh, well, I don't believe in Adam and Eve. I was like, all right. So at the end of the meeting, the teacher, the lecturer, someone else started having a chat with me. Listen, brother, you know, this man's a very intelligent, intellectual person. He basically said to me, you can't argue with this man on the same level because you're not on the same level. Now, he'd said that twice to me before. But this time I said, nah, I'm not having this, you know. I said, brother, I tell you what, you can say what you want about intelligence, but I tell you what the Bible tells me. It tells me people have been made stupid through their own intelligence and lack wisdom. And I'm telling you, he's wrong. And you're totally wrong. What you're doing, denying Adam and Eve in a sense, is denying Christ. If there's no Adam, there's no Jesus. There's no need for a Jesus if there's no Adam. Through Adam, sin came into the world, and through one man, it left. So if without that, there's no need for Jesus. What you're doing is tantamount to like sacrilege, I don't know, some word. And then I stormed off and left. And I said, I want my money back. And I got it. But what I'm saying is this. This thing is real. This thing is, it's real. You know. And it's growing. The more and more young people being brought up with different things, different stuff, different ideals, different ways of thinking, they're indoctrinated in school and every other way. And then now through leaders and different people, just wavering a little bit. Just a little bit to the left, or just a little bit to the north. You know, the Bible says God's always his zenith, doesn't it? There's no shifting shadows. There's no changing in God. He's always there at his peak. So he's always there. He never moves. And in a sense, as Christians, we shouldn't move either. Now, some things can be up for debate, but some things just aren't. Some things are absolutely not debatable. And the problem is all this is pulled apart now. And doing that and debating it and sitting on it is like sitting in a seat of scoffers. And we're not allowed to do that. We shouldn't do that. We need to learn to take the courage and be brave and learn to stand on this word. You see, if I can stand on this word to pray for the sick, and if I can stand on this word to pray for my own life to be blessed, if I can stand on this word to pray for blessings and all that for other people, then why shouldn't I be able to stand on it when it comes under attack for somebody else? I read something the other day in this thing about this whole person who basically broke apart the whole of the Bible. I'm not averse to reading stuff, I'll read it. I was reading it, oh yeah, that's his point, this is that, that's not true, someone else wrote this, da, da, da. It's not inspired, it's written by men, blah, blah, blah. Read it all, then in the end, the whole point of that was then the bit about then marriage of same-sex couples from America. So some guy did all of that, so by the time you got to the bottom of the page, you're like, oh yeah, well that's right then. It's not stupid. It's not for no reason that this thing comes under attack. You know, I remember when I got saved in prison and people often attacked the Bible or something. And then, I mean, I knew nothing then. You've got to bear this in mind. I knew nothing of God. I knew nothing of the Bible. I knew nothing of nothing. I was brand new. And I'm looking. Oh, flipping heck, you know, this Jesus. He's like the answer to everything. Addictions. Jesus is the answer to it. You know, marriage breakup. He's the answer to that. He's the answer to, he's the answer to everything, isn't he? I mean, I was like 3 weeks old in the Lord when I came to this conclusion. Jesus Christ is absolutely the answer to absolutely everything on this planet. And I'll tell you something else I realised. You've got this one little cross. You've got this one little cross 2,000 years ago stood on a little hill. And I tell you, every single cannon and armoury and gun and everything manufactured by man and demons and everything is all aimed at that one little focal point to destroy it. Because if they try and destroy that little cross, then they destroy everything that we believe in. Everything we stand for, everything else. And so that's constantly, constantly under attack. The word was constantly under attack. Then they found them Qumran scrolls, the Dead Sea scrolls. They realized the book of Isaiah was written so many years before, and it was true. So then they start attacking the character of Jesus. Who is Jesus? Was he real? Was he this? Everything's always under attack. Always by scoffers and people who genuinely, 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 truly search for the Lord. They always find him. Even when they try to find him to disagree with him, discredit him. You know, the guy who wrote the film Ben-Hur, he was a very intelligent man. And him and his friend had just finished university. They were very educated. And on the way home on the train, they stopped off in Texas, wherever it was. And on the barns, he's all written, Jesus saves, Jesus loves, Jesus all sorts. And he saw that, and him and his friend, they were wondering what they should do with their life. And he said, do you know what you should do with your life and make your life work? You should go and find out all the stuff and discredit Jesus and save all these Christians from their stupidity. And this guy said, I will. His wife was a Baptist or a Methodist. And so he hid it from her what he was doing. He went in his little study and he started gathering all the evidence from all over the world. And it was going to be his life's work. He eventually finished his life's work and concluded that it was true. That it was real. And then he wrote Ben-Hur. If you've seen Ben-Hur, you know how much Ben-Hur refers to the Lord. If you seek the Lord, you'll find him. So don't sit in the seat of mockers. You know, if we live like this, let's just take this talk for what it is now and what it's become, which is talking about separation from the world. It's about being holy, being of one mind, being single-minded, keeping your eyes focused on the Lord, doing what the Word says, trusting the Word, walking on the Word. Then when this move of God comes, we'll be part of it. You know, I was walking on this hill the other month. I'd seen a lot of people who were new from my past, Christians, who were all over the place with their thoughts, and I was upset about it. I wasn't upset, I was angry, I was sad because it was so fiery in the past. And as I was walking up this hill, there was a path. And either side of the path was all these bushes. And honestly, I felt the Lord say to me, you know, the time's going to come. You keep walking this straight line, just like Stewie said, just like this man said. You keep walking this straight line. Try the best you can to stay on it. Stay on it. Stay on that path. You keep walking that when then this move of God comes. All of your friends that have gone off the track into the bushes to live the way they're living, agreeing with everyone, being the same as everybody else, they're going to come and they're going to repent at my feet for the way they've been living. Because I tell you, they're going to miss the blessing. But what they're not going to miss is the grace and the mercy and the salvation and the chance to be redeemed and restored. You know, our life is blessed. I'm happy. I've got 4 children. I've got another little baba who's Stella's desperate to get out. And I go to sleep without any fear. I can love people for the first time in my life. I can genuinely feel love from other people. I know what it is to be a good dad. I try to be a good husband. I worked for 9 years of my life getting out of prison. I learned a work ethic which I didn't know. I try to be a good husband and try my best at that. I try to push myself all the time and go out and tell other people about the Lord in little ways, gentle ways, which is going to be part of my talk today. I try all the time to be the best Christian I can, the best son I can, the best stuff I can. But you know, before, I used to do it all from trying. Now I've just stopped trying. And now I just accept myself for the way I am. Not the person I used to be, but this guy who's absolutely loved by the Lord. who's washed in the blood of Christ, who's called to be a head, not a tail, who's a pastor to all the people out there, who's called to preach the gospel, proclaim the truth, bring life where there's death, hope where there's no hope, to reconcile people back to God, to, you know, to speak life and love, to pray for everybody. Not everyone gets healed, did he? But I'm still going to keep believing it. You know, Phil Cartmail this week, I can't stop without saying this, but Phil Cartmail, 2 weeks ago, he was doing his cleaning round. And as he was doing his cleaning round, he noticed this woman, this older woman, she was a bit withdrawn, a bit sad, and he asked the husband what's up with her. And the husband said, you know, she's got cancer. She's lost all of her hair. The doctors have said that's it. There's nothing more they can do. It's finished. So Phil, very scared, very humbly, said, look, can I pray for her? Is it okay? And he asked the woman, he said, yeah, you can pray for us. He prayed for her. And as he starts praying for her, he starts prophesying for her. You know, you're going to see life. You're not going to live with your grandchildren. You're going to see your great-grandchildren. This woman was finished. Phil saw the husband the other day. The husband told him that on the Monday the following week, he heard his wife scream. He ran upstairs and said, what's the matter? She said, my hair's growing back. They went to see that consultant this Wednesday, and the consultant has given this woman the all clear. So this woman's healed. Now listen, I want to say something. I don't know why we lose some. I don't know why some get saved. I don't know why some get healed and some don't. I don't know why people can live the way they live and why others don't. All I know is what the Bible tells me. That if I walk in the trust in the Lord, stood on this word, and not in the blessed, not in the counsel of the wicked, not standing in the seat of sinners, not mocking everything of the Lord, if I just trust Him and glorify Him and honour Him, and then I do the best I can to do the best I can for everybody out there, then you know what? That's all I can do. And that's me being a good and faithful servant. Listen, guys, I've been reading last night about George Jeffries, Stephen Jeffries. They saw thousands upon thousands upon thousands of healings and miracles and all this different stuff. But you know what? To do that, they walked full of life. They didn't carry death. They carried life. The world's full of death. I love nature. I love nature programs. But let me tell you something. You have nature programs because of the fall. Because of sin. Because before sin, lions didn't eat antelopes or anything else. So I'm glorifying in the fall of man. You can watch all this stuff. I was watching something we loved, Boardwalk Empire. We really enjoyed it. But about a few episodes in, Holy Spirit, I started getting dragged into my past. It starts darkening me, starts giving me bad dreams. I've got to make that choice and to cut it off. We're watching something else. The same thing happens. Or the kids watch something and their countenance changes all of a sudden. A bit cheeky. Well, you cut that off. Or you listen to rave music. If I put dance music on in the car, all of a sudden my cat's out, it's backwards. I've got my shades on, the window's down, and I'm bobbing my head. And I'm all gangster again. But you know what? The reality is, doing all of that stuff is living back as that dead person. So all I want to encourage you is this. If you want to be moved in this movement, if you want to do what God said and take your place in a great commission, then you know what? Just surrender your life. Surrender it all. Just stop fighting. Stop fighting the Lord. Stop choosing the wrong things. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You have victory over all of it. And you know what? Go for the Lord. Cut your ties with the people you've given to. Stop knocking about with the people you have. You think people darken your countenance. Get rid of that. And then walk in the counsel of the Lord. Guys, bless you. We love you. And we look forward to what God's going to do for you. But I'm finished. So, I don't know. Should we pray? Should we pray? Listen. You know, I heard Reinhard Bonnke say once that if you've responded a million times, don't bother responding again. Because if you responded a million times and you're still in the same position, you didn't mean it the first time. So you know what I'm going to say is this. Do you know Gideon in the Bible had so many thousands of men, didn't he? And then the Lord said, do this. Have him drink like this. Have him do this. And eventually he's left with a few hundred. Well, do you know what happens with us? We all en masse. Use me, God, use me. Well, do you know what? In a sense, you've got everything you need. You got it the day you got saved. You've got it in here. The only thing stopping you now is you going out and doing something with it. The gifts of the Holy Spirit aren't given for you to be blessed and happy. They're given to give away to people out there who need them. Miracles, salvations, all that other stuff. So I just want to ask you very simple. The first thing is this. Just close your eyes for me one moment. If there's anyone in this room and you've literally never surrendered your life to God, to Jesus or anything else, and you want to do that, and you never have, you want to become like I did and like everyone else probably in this room, or a lot of them have, and follow Jesus and know who he is and begin to change from the inside out, then will you just put your hand up if there's anyone in the room? Because I don't want to do this before I give you this chance. Is there anyone that wants to give their life, surrender their life and start being blessed and kind of get to know God from this day forward? Anyone? Okay. Well done, dude. Is there anybody else? You just want to repent of your sin and all that stuff and start again with the Lord. Anyone else? What, any Christians? Do you need to say, look, I've had enough. I want to start again. Is there anyone else? Well done. My hand's up there as well, actually. So well done to me. Well done, good and faithful servants. So now, listen. If you genuinely want the Lord to use you and you're genuinely willing to start just going out and being who you are, then you know what? You need to just have a chat with God right now. I'm going to pray. And if you want to say amen to my prayer, you can. But if you want to pray your own, that's totally cool. But Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, that I'm alive and I'm not dead. I thank you, Lord, I'm a head and not a tail. And Lord, I repent for coming into the counsel of any ungodly, any wicked, any worldly points of view. I repent, Lord, for it in any of that stuff cloud my home, come into my home, come into my relationships, my marriage or anything else. Father, I repent, Lord, but I've stand in the way of sinners, stood and watched things I shouldn't have watched and done things I shouldn't have done, thinking I'll be okay, it won't affect me. Forgive me, Lord, for being silly and foolish. I thank you, Lord, for cleansing my conscience right now and washing me with your blood. And Lord Jesus, I thank you. And I repent if I've stood in a seat of mockers. I thank you for your holy church. I thank you your church isn't about buildings, it's about people. And I thank you, Lord, there's a movement coming. There's a move of you coming across this land, across this nation, God. Your mercy and your blood. And I want to play my part in it. I want to make my moves, Holy Spirit. Me and you together as partners in this. To glorify the name of the Lord in this land. To see your goodness in the land of the living. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I have the power, the anointing, the calling to destroy darkness and death and decay everywhere I see it. And I choose right now to walk under life and blessing and truth instead of deceit and darkness and decay. Thank you, Lord. I'm born again. I'm brand new. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.